Today, for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, the text for our sermon is from the Gospel and also the Epistle informing us. Verse 22 of the Gospel reading, "Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And the last verse of the Epistle reading, "So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief." God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today we hear that Jesus wants the rich man to see himself as poor before God. Jesus wants the rich man to confess, not brag, and to find assurance of his salvation in the work of God. The rich young man, we hear, he comes to Jesus because he lacks something. Some might think, knowing the end of this reading, some might think that the one thing the man lacked was poverty. Jesus says at the end of the reading, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor." Is Jesus saying that being poor is the key to inheriting eternal life? If that is the case, why didn't Jesus just say that from the beginning? Why go through the whole rigmarole of listing off almost all the Ten Commandments? Why not just answer the man's question from the beginning? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, sell everything, give to the poor. There you go. Simple. Good. Right? Jesus wants the rich man to see himself as poor before a good God. Jesus wants the man to confess that Jesus is the way, not his own righteousness. This young man comes to Jesus. He has it all. He's rich. He's young. He knows God's laws. He's a stand-up man. He is someone we would probably all desire to be like. However, this man, he realizes he misses something. It's the same story over and over again. A person has wealth. They have health. They have a good life, but something is missing. Perhaps he spent his life amassing his wealth. We are told he's young. Or maybe he inherited his money. Either way, it appears what he thought would give fulfillment hasn't quite measured up. He knows he still lacks something. Something that is good. Eternal life. Maybe something recently happened to him that caused him to contemplate his eternal well-being. We don't really know. Maybe he sees how fluid money and possessions are, how they can be here one day and gone the next. Just in the year 2020, our stock market saw record losses. Worse than even the days preceding the Great Depression, yet here we are a year later and we have record highs. Easy come, easy go. Today we should reflect on what is it that we fear, love, and trust in above God. That's what Jesus wants the man to confess. He wants the man to confess what it is that he worships above God. What is it that you see as good for you, no matter what? Like this man, it could be money. Of course, it can often be pride. It can be our possessions. But it can also be our family. It can be our kids. It can be our spouses. It can be our job. Whatever the gifts that God gives to us, what is it of these things that we love more than God? What is it of these things that would cause us to compromise our faithfulness to our Lord? To turn a blind eye? To not call sin what it is? It could also be that just being plain lazy, maybe that's your ultimate good. Jesus teaches us an important lesson today. He teaches us to consider this. What is it that we would not be willing to give up for Him? It's most likely security. It's most likely your money. It could be anything. It could be video games. It could be good health. It could be good safety. COVID certainly exposed many people's fear of death above God. Jesus' words echo in your ears, sell all you have and give to the poor. Now, this isn't the first time God has asked somebody to give up their false gods. If you remember Abraham, he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac to obey God. And he would have. Moses was asked by God to give up the comforts of Egypt. And he did. Joshua was commanded by God to give up his trust in normal military planning and fighting and to march and blow trumpets to win a military victory in Jericho. And he did. Mary, the mother of our Lord, was asked to give up a normal life, and she did. Joseph was commanded to take Mary as his wife at great cost to him, and he did. Hosea the prophet, commanded by God to marry a prostitute, and he did. It's not uncommon for God to ask us to forsake the things we love more than Him. In fact, it's a daily, walk with Him. And as you've seen, as you've heard, from days of old, He gives His people strength to do just that. You too have the same Holy Spirit that Abraham had, Moses, Jacob, all the fathers, even Hosea the prophet. You have the same Holy Spirit, and by that Spirit you can turn from your false gods and forsake them and follow Christ. By prayer and faith, He helps you. He gives faithfulness. Remember that verse, with God, all things are possible. Also, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And that is precisely where we find the rich man today. He was without Jesus as his good God. The rich man didn't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus goes through the commandments to teach this rich young man to confess that he hasn't kept all the commandments. Jesus is running through the Ten Commandments to teach this man to confess that he had not kept the commandments. We are taught by Jesus in the Gospel of St. Luke, he says, even when you have done all that's required of you, say, we are unworthy servants. The rich young man did not have faith. We see this in his words. He addresses Jesus as just good teacher. Not a good God. He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? To this man, Jesus right now is just a good teacher. A teacher will teach you how to drive a car, how to play a sport, how to make money and impress people. The rich man could probably teach us a lesson or two about success. But that's not the good lesson we are to learn today. Today we reflect on what it is that often is our God of choice, and it can change, and it often does. When we're young, we follow the God of popularity, the God of strength, the God of the approval of our peers. The gods of adultery. But as we age, it becomes pride, still strength. Today, Jesus teaches us a lesson to put our life before the Ten Commandments and to let the Holy Spirit diagnose our gods. Because here is standing the God of gods right before this man. In Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, He gave it all up for sinners, that we would be rich in faith, that we would be rich in the forgiveness of sins, that we would seek those things above all else. Jesus puts the man's life before the law of God. He says, "You think you're good." He teaches the Ten Commandments again to this man. Jesus is teaching the man, but what He is teaching the rich young man is that the Ten Commandments are not the way to inherit eternal life. Well, obeying the Ten Commandments, yes, that is the way to eternal life. Jesus is right. He's not lying. To inherit eternal life, you need to be perfect. You need to be good. So good, in fact, you must be perfect. Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. At creation, before sin was in the world, God would create and God would stand back. He would see all He had created and He said it was good. Only God is good, and what God creates, it is only those things that He makes is good. So Jesus was answering the man's question from the beginning. How do you inherit eternal life? You must believe that God is good and that Jesus Christ is that good God. And further, He is still good when He calls you to forsake your false gods, even if it's at great cost to you. Jesus wanted the man to stop looking at himself and to see the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus desired the man not to look to the Ten Commandments, but to see Jesus as His righteousness, to see Jesus as His holiness, to see Jesus as the one who fulfills the commandments on His behalf, so He may freely and joyfully give up all that He owns and follow Christ with a joyful heart, but no, turns away sorrowful, for he has no faith. Jesus, my dear friends, has fulfilled every commandment on your behalf. Why look to the law? Every law of God Jesus has obeyed, rich in faithfulness, rich in obedience, rich in love. Jesus preaches to this man the absolute truth, because what does it say? Jesus looked at the man and loves the man. Jesus is jealous to have the man's full attention. Jesus is jealous to be the only treasure this man has. Jesus is not willing to share this rich man with any of his possessions. Jesus loves the man. Jesus looked at the man, loved him, and said, "Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me." What a strange love. But a love indeed, because sin is serious business. Deadly serious. So Jesus, He has what we might think is a strange love, but it's the love of God indeed. Good love. Good love that will not allow us to be comfortable in our sinful flesh with our false gods. What a wonderful love this is. Why would Jesus love this man? It wasn't because he was rich. It wasn't because he complimented Jesus at the beginning, saying, "Oh, good teacher." Jesus doesn't want compliments. Jesus wants a contrite heart. Jesus loved the man because Jesus is the one who is rich. He has something greater for this rich man, greater than any of his riches. He has eternal life to give, forgiveness to give. And Jesus loves you too. For God loves the whole world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. Jesus has forgiveness of sins for you already. He's already given you a promise that your false gods, they will not win. They will not destroy you if you follow Jesus. Jesus has abundant life for this man and for us. Forgiveness for all the times we haven't laid down our false gods. The sins we've committed of not fearing and loving God above all things, even thinking that God is not good. Jesus is rich in mercy for those who've sinned. The Father, God our Heavenly Father, is Abraham who did give up his son. Jesus is Moses, who leads us out of slavery, out of the slavery of sin, to eternal life. Jesus is Joshua, leading us to victory by unconventional means of His cross, by His body and blood on the altar, by the waters of baptism. Jesus is Hosea, the prophet, taking away our shame, receiving us, His sinful bride, the church. He makes us His again and again, as unfaithful as we have been in sin. For Jesus gave His Spirit up on the cross for us sinners to be rich in the Holy Spirit. He does not leave you lacking. He took all your debts to God and He paid them off. Jesus was the rich man who, when God places the cross before him, he did not turn away sad, but joyfully forsook all he had and endured the cross to give you eternal life. Certainly, Jesus expected this man to sell all he had. He expects that of you too. And when you sin, when you're wayward on the way of following Jesus, forsaking the ways and things of this life, His way is also a way of repentance, because it is the way of faith, returning to Him when you see that whether it's your possessions, whether it's your pride, whatever it might be, when you do sin, His way is a way of returning to Him by faith. What rich man could buy forgiveness of sins? What price would you put on the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you? And yet, God gives it to you free. It cost Him. It was mighty expensive. It was His own perfect Son. But for us, it is free. It is freedom. God has recreated you by the waters of baptism. He saw what He created and said, He is good. She is good. My people, they are good. And when you die, whether you're rich or poor, whether you've saved up millions of dollars and at your death, or even before then, you give it all to church, well and good. Or if you're as poor when you die as when you entered this world, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Just don't forsake Him. Heed the warning of the author to Hebrews today. Don't turn away from Him, but turn to Him when you see your sin. For He's always there, ready to forgive and remind you of the riches He has for you. Jesus desires us to forsake all that we might fear, love, and trust in above Him and see Jesus as the good God. The good God who forgives and creates us new in His rich forgiveness. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.